You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the El Arpa Podcast. Welcome back to the latest edition of the El Arpa Podcast. I hope you are well, dear listener. Joining me in studio, i.e. the park bench today, is, as always, the lovely Maria. As always, referring to her loveliness and her being on a park bench. Both of those things are constants, at least in my view. Maria, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Even after that long-winded introduction?
Yes, even better.
Okay, well, it's a new El Arpa Podcast, new El Arpa discussion. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about a photography exhibition.
That's new for us?
Not really.
You're right, you just jogged my memory. We've gone to more in the past. Okay, so what was the topic of this particular photography exhibition?
Okay, it's the work of a certain photographer called Joseph Kudelka.
Okay, and describe to me, if you will, his oeuvre, his creative hub. What was it? What's the essence of this man?
Okay, well, the essence is manifold. It's just got different subjects, you know, they range from, you know, abstractions to things like politics, you know, people, even archaeology, certain groups, for example, gypsies. So it's quite a variety of things.
It's very eclectic. Well, first, before we go into the nitty gritty, did you like it?
I loved it very much.
Okay, why?
I just thought they were, you know, really beautiful images, quite insightful.
It sounds like the exhibition was diffuse. I mean, there are a lot of things there: archaeology, gypsies, even as well images from the Russian invasion of Czechoslovakia in the 50s. So, I mean, these are very distinctive things. So was it strange to encounter all of these at the same time? Or was it something that you just went along with?
I think they just, you know, flowed one into the other. There were series of different series that had developed through the years, out of interest. For example, an important part was to do with all the countries that he traveled to, and this is because he was basically deprived of his passport, and actually his passport said identity unknown. So I think that kind of had an influence on, you know, he's trying to portray different identities and trying to find his own as well.
He also identified himself very much as a loner in the exhibition, and that even though he made many friends in his travels with the gypsies and other people that he interviewed or photographed, he still made a point of being apart from the community. This identity that he forged for himself, did you get a clear sense of this looking at the different photographs, this sense of aloneness and separation?
I think you could get a very clear sense, yes, and I think that actually helped, you know, the vision that he gave, like how he saw the images that were in front of him. I think it definitely helped, like, give this personal view that I think allowed you to see things in a different way, maybe like in a new light, you know, subjects that maybe before you'd overlooked.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's one of the earliest photographs, or one of the ones you can see from the outset, is of a motorbike race in Czechoslovakia, and it's shot from a distance. It's shot at an angle, which, you know, is it creates two effects. One, that you can see it's almost like a human vision of it. You're not looking through a lens, you're looking through somebody's eyes, because that's how we see things. You know, if we're walking on uneven earth or whatever, you know, we see things in a uneven way or whatever. And also you do get a sense of his separation from that scene, because he is standing a distance from it. And it's one of my favorite pictures in the exhibition, because we've been to a few exhibitions where the photography or the art has been a little bit abstract. I think this is abstract photography in a way, because you're seeing things from different angles. But because it's grounded in something that's very relatable and very human, I think that adds to the effect, the choice of he made in how to shoot the photo, I think. Because there's another photo as well of in the Gypsy series, where he's looking at Gypsy mothers and their children. And on the left of the picture, there's a woman's arse, basically. So it just it's taken at a funny angle, an angle that you would see if you're sitting down with them as well. And it's not a typical photo of, it's not a typical angle you would see in a lot of photographs, I think. So he does have a very unique eye for a photographer, I think. And that's why he has an exhibition. I think people recognize that as well. I think people really tap into that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think what's special about the pictures is that they're all very much about individual, settings and circumstances and so on, and they're very focused on different countries and the specific situation of people in those countries, but at the same time, they're very universal images that, you know.
Yeah, and even the pictures of the groups, he does take group photographs. But again, you can see that sense of separation even in those group photographs, because he has one picture set in Ireland of a group of old women kind of chatting and having tea, but there's one who's distracted or looking away or looking quite angry, and she's removed from that group, you know. And even other scenes, another one also in Ireland of a man sitting on what seems to be a hospital trolley, a big Virgin Mary or some religious epithet, and there's a boy who could possibly be a holy, you know, part of some holy order, a communion boy or whatever. And, even though they're together in that photograph and there's something happening, there's a strange static element to the photographs where even the people in the photographs, when they're with other people, seem to be, removed from the situation themselves. And, you know, we're the ones who are supposed to be removed from it because we're looking at it in an exhibition hall. But even those in the picture seem removed from what's happening around them. So I think it's I don't know how he captures it. It's a very subtle thing, but if it's very subtle, you don't know why a picture is great. You just kind of feel it, and that's the impression I got from looking at these photographs.
I think that's definitely right. Something magical about it is that, you know, the pictures that feature different people, that you can tell, you know, that he's focused on not the most obvious thing, but actually like different reactions from different people and the way that they interact with each other.
And it's the interaction with the environment of it, which I think is kind of he's a huge element in his pictures, because there's another series within the exhibition which is of walls, because he grew up behind the Berlin Wall, behind the Iron Curtain. And he photographed walls and how imposing they can be on the landscape, both physically and, I suppose, mentally as well. And again, I mean, this is the starkest reminder, I think, or just the most dramatic manifestation of his view of the world, or his choices in the world, or, well, choices to a certain extent, but also something that's been imposed upon him by being born in a country that was under Soviet occupation at the time. But there is one series where there is a slight departure from this, because his pictures of Czechoslovakia when the Russians invade are quite dynamic, they're quite intense, and they're quite action filled, you know. So I think there maybe is another beat in his voice, you know, when you're looking at those photographs. What do you think?
No, I think you're right. I think there's quite a contrast between these photos, which are almost like photojournalism, but at the same time, you know, they're given sort of like an epic, you know, tint to them, and all the other photos, which are kind of like atemporal. I think it just could be
anywhere, anytime.
Exactly.
Is there a sadness in that?
I think there kind of is to a point. I don't know. On the one hand, you can lose yourself in the picture, and feel some sort of solace or something of the kind. But at the same time, yeah, I guess there's a bit of a sadness of vagone moment, I would have thought.
Yeah, it's a contradiction, really, because the beauty of these pictures is that we can relate to them, but also they're a testament to a man who's exiled himself quite consciously from the world, a world that he yet has committed himself to capture in photographs, So there is a interesting contradiction running through the exhibition, and it really reflects the man who is behind the camera. Kind of captured my interest was that he took thousands of photos, hundreds of photos, and very few actually made it onto the exhibition halls, so it'd be nice to learn more maybe about how he kind of made a selection process, which isn't the fault of the exhibition center. I mean, it's something that you can do in your own time. So now for our awesome musical interlude, we shall be back quite shortly with part 2. Welcome back, one and all, to part 2 of the show. You lucky listeners, you stayed around for the end of the show. So, what do we have to inform our listeners of in this part of the show, Maria?
Of what we're going to do next week.
Exactly, yes. So what are we doing next week?
We don't know.
We do, remember?
Just missing. No, I do remember.
What is it then?
It's about silent movies.
Exactly. Well, not just silent movies, but the early movies of Charlie Chaplin and Buster Keaton, because they're interesting. And Charlie Chaplin is such an influential person in early cinema history. Yet, I don't know. I mean, I love cinema, but I've never really learned that much about him. What about you? Have you ever learned anything about Charlie Chaplin?
Well, not just the usual trivia about... Hitler and all these things.
Well, presumably you've seen that speech from The Great Dictator that everybody quotes ad nauseum. So that has been ruined through repetition, I think, a little bit. But there are other scenes in The Great Dictator, for example, that are quite funny. And also, as well, his later movies took on a great social message. Freud, who I'm not a big fan of, I don't think you are either.
Not at all.
Exactly. He felt that those political messages were as a result of his poor childhood and how he went, and because of his poverty and his poverty. His movies had a social message about, that's why he had that character with the tramp and all that. But you don't need to be a psychologist or a psychoanalyst or a Freud to make that kind of connection. So we won't be making those lazy connections next week. We'll be doing proper
ingenious things,
in-depth analysis. Exactly, yeah. So this is Enda from the ENARPA studio saying bye bye
and Maria saying bye.
Okay, see you next... Well, talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the ENARPA Podcast.